And welcome back, everybody. That's a preview audio for a change. This is Stunt Granny Audio, the Money in the Bank 2011 preview show. I'm Jeremy. It's going to be Kevin because we always do the preview shows, so no surprise there.
Hi, kids.
Yes. And Kevin coming off a solo run of two interviews in a row.
Yep.
Sandwiched around Eric's. And Eric and Dan's nostalgia review, Gary Hart's book, and was it the Dan Gable Museum? I always get it wrong. So
yes,
okay, but
I think there might be something else in there, but okay. Yeah.
So it's been a pretty packed week for audios. So this is a nice special late Friday edition. Just our thoughts on the upcoming Money in the Bank pay per view. Predictions that are usually wrong 50% of the time, which is, in baseball terms, really good. So I don't know. Let's just talk about the overall sense of this pay-per-view. This is one I might actually order.
Just for the
spectacle of the main event, I think.
Yeah, no. In the almost live, definitely half-assed review of Raw there on Monday that I did, as much as I agree with Punk that we are part of the problem, you can't help but have been talked into quote-unquote the arena or buying the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
With what he's done. Like, I even if he truly is gone after Sunday, and all reports seem to be indicating that, even if it's just a break. I just want to see what happens. I want to see, even if he loses, and I want to see what happens.
Yeah, I think that's the best part of this, is that there's finally some sort of, what's the opposite of inevitable? Surprises, something, and I don't know what happened to us. I was fine before we started, and I just started losing my mind when we were talking. So, it's lacking that sense of inevitability that John Cena is going to win for a change. Like,
yeah,
without even any real physical altercation, they've built the match up to where you want to see this.
So. No tag team matches, no. The only real interference has been, when Punk, pulled the table out from, Cena in the, R-Truth match.
Sure. And that's what started it, really. So,
besides
being named number one contender, but yeah. But we'll get into that a little bit later.
Definitely live and half-assed, vlog of the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure the dogs will inevitably need to be walked somewhere after the first hour.
Yeah, well, that's where the pause button comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it seems like there's some decent stuff on this. You got Randy Orton and Christian again, which by this match, I know that there's a change with Christian being the heel, but, you got your, fourth time around? I know that's a lot, but these guys could probably sleepwalk and have a good match. So,
yeah, there's that too. They have had three good matches, even with Orton maybe being limited at the last pay-per-view. I know that he got clearance after it, but they probably took it a little bit easy.
Yeah.
On him, so he might be able to go full bore this one, which should make the match better.
Yeah. And then you've got the two Money in the Bank matches, the SmackDown and Raw.
Yeah.
Good
Raws seem a little, I'm trying not to get into too much detail. And
I'm doing a little bit different this time, just trying to give a brief rundown of all the matches, and then we can get into them all.
Yeah.
And then you've got Big Show Mark Henry, and then the Divas Champion Kelly Kelly versus Brie Bella. So there you go, really. Yep.
We just start with that poo platter, or are we going to start off?
Let's talk about the women's match. So the next match is the Big Show versus Mark Henry, and
it's almost amusing that they've been pushing AJ, Tamina, Alicia, and Natalya on SmackDown more than they have these Chuckle Huts.
I think having Karma go on the shelf for a year or two, and inevitable, I'm not coming back. They had no idea what to do. Everything was built around
her
coming
back
out and just destroying everybody. And with that gone, just absolutely clueless. I mean,
yeah. No, and the yeah, it's gonna be a something filler match there. Oh, and you know what? Even before we move on, who's gonna win?
Kelly. Who cares?
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. I think we've talked about it less than the actual match time. That's nice for a change. So let's go on to the other filler match, Big Show versus Mark Henry. Let's just get these out of the way.
That's fine.
I don't think this is going to be the clusterfuck we're all expecting.
Well, they are probably going to keep it short, so that's going to help out. Or at least I imagine that they're going to keep it short. So that'll help it not be a clusterfuck. And it's going to be a bit of a brawl. Like, they're not going to try and have some type of five-star Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker match. Like,
right.
It's going to be them slugging it out, a couple of power moves, and somebody's going to win. Like, I don't see this thing going beyond the 10-minute mark. And if they limit them to less 10 or less minutes, they can deliver a fine match. Not good, great, or anything, but, you know, livable.
I'm just trying to think of the last time Mark Henry was in a 10-minute match. A non-tag team.
And I can't even think of the last time the Big Show's been in a 10-minute match, honestly.
Probably a tag team match of some sort.
Yeah, maybe a tag team or one of those elimination-style kind of matches, but...
Yeah.
You know, like a singles match. Yeah, no.
I don't know, but it's funny because Big Show to me looks like he's slimmed down. And Mark Henry, as they've even noted on TV, he's slimmed down as well. So I wonder if their improved conditioning, I'm not saying they're great condition, but their improved in conditioning can actually make the match better. I guess that's what I'm kind of counting on.
Yeah, no, I agree with you that it probably hasn't been a lot of weight, but in the scheme of things, if either of them lost 10 to 20 pounds or something, I'm sure it'd help out.
Yeah. I mean, I know they said that Mark Henry lost, what, 50 pounds?
Oh, really?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, they said that. So, I mean, remember, Big Show used to be 500 pounds when he was only like 450, 470, something like that. I mean,
yeah.
But no, it... To me, I guess Mark Henry's hitting on all cylinders as a heel. And I know his match quality hasn't been good, but his personality is another one that's making you want to see this. I mean, these are two big-ass men, one tall and big and one just squatty and wide big, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I always have high hopes for these sort of matches, the big men matches with... And like you put it, just a slugfest.
Right. Yeah.
That's why I kind of want or have high hopes for this, just on the off chance they deliver. Because I'm not a down on Big Show like I used to be years ago. I finally got it about the guy. So.
Yeah, and I guess I didn't realize they had mentioned it on Tough Enough when Austin's like, you know, he's as athletic as just about anyone on the roster. And I'm like, you know what? He does move remarkably well around the ring, considering his size. Like, I think that was one of those moments. It's just like, maybe it was. It's just like, I kind of took it for granted or something, and it just kind of gave me a renewed sense of how well he moves for as large as he is.
Yeah, and especially when he ran down to the ring the one week.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little uncomfortable, but, you know, at least... You know, saw him run.
yeah. And the other, I think the other thing about this match is that it is a big man match. There are so many times now where these guys have played Goliath in almost all of their matches that I can think of recently. So to have them in a match that's like, kind of going with the you don't think something's inevitable. It's just like, wow, like you're like, oh, Big Show's either going to get screwed,
mm-hmm.
or Mark Henry has been a jobber. So it's just like whatever Mark Henry's going to lose, and else if the guy wins over Big Show, he's cheating. So it's just like, oh, well, someone's got to win and someone's got to lose, and that to me helps the match tremendously.
Yeah, I nothing I can disagree with there, but I think this is going to turn out to be one of those classic higher hopes, poor delivery sort of thing. That's like, you know, they've made Mark Henry a big thing.
Yeah.
They've made him look legit again. They're on their, what's thrice annual push of him.
Yeah.
And then, so, to save face, I mean, who do you see winning this? Because Big Show hasn't had a good win in a while. And you can't just kill Mark Henry if you're putting this much time into it.
Yeah, and I thought about that problem right as we started talking about this. I'm like, man, like this just blows for both of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't. You can't deliver double DQ or something again. I mean, they already had the big stunt on Monday.
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess you could have delivered that on a pay-per-view, but.
And are they still, they're on different brands, aren't they?
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, I guess, yes. But.
Yeah, I know that, and I've said it before, but they are splitting the brands, it seems, less this year than in years past, post WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But, I don't know what Mark Henry does on SmackDown.
It's because he just goes to Raw. He stops by SmackDown, says hi, and then goes over to Raw and does all his work over there. So, now, alright, I'm gonna take Big Show because Mark Henry loses all the time. So why not sacrifice him once again?
Yeah, well, I'm gonna go the opposite route. I decide that they're sticking with Mark Henry push for a little bit. Since they need something on SmackDown, so
yes, they do. As we're about to find out, the SmackDown Money in the Bank match: Justin Gabriel, Sheamus, Heath Slater, Cody Rhodes, Sin Cara, Kane, Daniel Bryan, and Wade Barrett. Those are your participants.
Oh,
and I'll be honest: why the hell are Slater and Justin Gabriel in this match?
Because they are the highest people on the SmackDown totem pole of all sad things. Well, I mean, it goes back to all of our talks that we had when we were when we talked about the drafts and whatnot. Like, I mean, SmackDown just got raped.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what other, however else to put it. I mean, they got Sheamus, who honestly, I need to look at the play. Oh, okay, is it further down here? Okay, yeah, it is. Really, to me. Both the ladder matches or the Money in the Bank matches have pretty much inevitable winners to me.
Okay.
And Sheamus is it for the SmackDown one. Because Slater and Gabriel, as you already mentioned, why are they in the match?
Yeah, I mean, there's, come on, no chance in hell. But
yeah. I mean, normally, even with someone who doesn't have a chance in hell, you're like, I guess, maybe. You know, if they really wanted to do it, they could. But with those two, like, it is so just not even close to them winning that it's pretty awful, I guess.
All right. Well, let's do this. Let's just eliminate people.
Okay.
Heath Slater, Justin Gabriel, Cody Rhodes, Sin Cara, and Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
All right.
Well, and even honestly, Kane, really, I know that they keep on pointing out that he won last year, but without Undertaker around, I don't see him winning it.
Okay.
You know, he had his title run. Why would he get another one?
Okay. And I guess this kind of ties into the main event, but if Randy Orton is the champion, he needs somebody new. Because SmackDown's ratings are dismal. Of course, WWE's ratings are dismal. Randy Orton needs somebody new. And Christian really needs somebody new as well. And to me, this match is directly tied into the Randy Orton one. The Randy Orton-Christian match. More so than the Raw one. Randy Orton, size-wise, he's already done it with Sheamus. Okay? Wade Barrett's a new opponent. Taller, probably, than Randy Orton. Kane, as we always talk about, Kane always gets a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what he does, no matter how long he's off, no matter how he's used, he gets a reaction of some sort.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing.
Heel or face, he gets a reaction.
Heel, they boo. I mean, and then they eventually turn him face. Face, they cheer him. So he's one of those, I guess, enigmas, if you want to, you know, use that term. It doesn't make any sense why he's so popular still, but he is. And I guess that's the only reason I can see them giving him a shot. He doesn't need it, mind you. He does not need it in any way. But I can see them handing him the opportunity.
So are you saying that if Kane wins, you're thinking that Christian ends up winning because they need a babyface?
Yeah. I would say even if Sheamus wins, Christian's going to win. Because it's a different feud. And I know it's two heels, but that doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah, well, it might not matter. And they've already had an issue together. So everything is, you know, they have somewhere to go with that one.
Yeah. Yeah, though I'm sorry, I got distracted by the dogs. You're talking about Christian and Sheamus, right?
Yeah, Christian and Sheamus.
Okay, yeah. Because
Sheamus has run him down a couple of times.
Right.
For getting the extra title defenses, or the extra title shots, I should say.
Yeah, and they've hooked up in different matches, three-way matches, elimination, whatever. Just offhand, I can't remember, but I know that there was some sort of confrontation in these matches so that Christian could get these shots too.
Right.
On SmackDown, I mean.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So there's still that underlying issue between the two that could be exploited in some way.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay. And then
Wade
Barrett's the only heel guy that stands a possibility of winning this.
Yeah.
As a heel, I mean, I guess I said Sheamus, but Wade Barrett's like the wild card. It would make sense because usually they try and give the Money in the Bank to somebody on the rise or, you know, underneath the just underneath the main event part.
Yeah.
And doesn't Wade Barrett fit that bill?
Yes, he does. And he said that he was moving on to bigger and better things. And, I mean, they've always portrayed him as the leader. They've always given him more mic time. They've still been giving him mic time in the meantime. And, shit, he lost whichever belt is on that show, Intercontinental, I guess, I think.
Ezekiel Jackson, yeah.
Yeah, to Ezekiel Jackson. And he's gotten more airtime than Ezekiel Jackson has in the meantime.
Yeah, with good reason, too.
Him and Sheamus, to me, would be my two favorites with Kane on the outside. Because, well, and Barrett and Sheamus work because, well, A, with Sheamus, you can go either way. You can go Orton or Christian winning the main event. With Barrett, I think it's pretty pretty obvious that Randy Orton would still be the champion afterwards.
Yeah.
And, you can have Christian win, and then, yeah, I think we already mentioned that, so.
Yeah. Well, see, it's funny, because I just thought it's the last time the SmackDown one changed hands, it was Jack Swagger, and he beat Chris Jericho, a heel at the time, so I guess it kind of blows the theory up a little bit. And even CM Punk was a face when he beat Jeff Hardy. So, well, I mean, there is that possibility of, you know, a heel beating a heel or a face beating a face, but, you know, it doesn't seem likely.
Yeah, and with Punk, they initiated the old heel turn.
Well, but at first they didn't in that one. It was, you know, I would have done the same thing, blah, blah, blah. And then once people just started booing Punk for doing it, that's when they were like, oh, screw it, just go ahead and do it. Okay. It wasn't like an immediate heel turn, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no.
Yeah.
That was a good clear-up.
Yeah, I still say the smart money is on Wade Barrett to win this, though. Just for something different, which they clearly need, and they changed head writers on SmackDown.
Well, and plus, just the talking about not having anyone, if you have Barrett win, you have someone else then. Like, Sheamus doesn't need that to be someone. Like, you can sell him as a champion, you know, as a former champion. So, like, if you want to rebuild him, have him beat somebody else, and it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And same thing with Kane, honestly.
Yeah. I think Sheamus winning, though, would help. I mean, he's been kind of stale. So at least this gives him something, but
yeah,
it's never been, like, the most physically imposing guy to win it either.
Right, yeah.
So it always seems like an underdog sort of person. I mean, Punk beat, what, Batista? No. Who did he edge? Swagger's probably the only one with, like, the big physical tools that they like.
But even him, though, even as tall as he is and as big as he is, I don't even really look at him as big as Triple H or anything like that. Like, yeah. He's kind of like Randy Orton, more tall and lanky than he is short and kind of wide.
Yeah, but I'm still going to go with Wade Barrett in this.
that actually sounds like a pretty solid pick to me.
Okay, so we picked Wade Barrett, so they'll probably go with Sheamus. Just to show how with it we are.
Well, I mean, what are you going to say? There are eight guys in the match, and those are those are the main two we think are going to win.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Do you want me to pick Sheamus so that we can hedge our bets with Las Vegas?
No, not really. So, all right, well, let's move on to the Raw Money in the Bank match. This one, to me, holds way more intrigue than SmackDown does, and I think that's kind of a safe thing to say. You got Del Rio, possibility, Ron Killings, I'm sorry, R-Truth, Jack Swagger, The Miz, Evan Bourne, Rey Mysterio, Riley, and Kofi. Now, I think we can probably play the same game we did with the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Del Rio, Miz, and Mysterio are the only three I think that they would actually let win this.
I agree.
And I was only throwing Mysterio in there to be nice, because knowing his contract's coming up end of the year, or end of the summer, or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I did see that his contract has come up soon.
Yeah, so it's just in there just for the fun part of it.
Yeah, plus I guess he's another one to me that he's kind of like Kane in the you don't really need to do anything to build this guy up to be a challenger for anyone.
And I just thought of this, but how pissed is Kane that they took the mask off and Mysterio still has his on? I mean, all the merch that Mysterio pulls in off of those dumbass masks that Kane could have, like, changed his up every couple months and they could have sold new ones. You know, it's like the marketing machine wasn't quite what it, like, back then, wasn't quite what it is now.
Right.
So it would almost, I mean, I know they have Sin Cara masks now, but at the same time, you know, Kane had a unique one at least. They did sell it for a while, but yeah. They could have come up with different styles and made even more money. I mean, if they're going to bring up ice cream bars, let's bring up, stupid shit like that. Different figures. I mean, remember the G.I. Joe figures? They'd come out with a different Snake Eyes in every round or every.
Yeah.
They put a knight's mask on him or knight's shield on his face one time. Then he came with a dog, and then he came with swords. It was like, you're not even doing anything. I bought them all, but still. What was it, Gung-Ho? They finally non-gayed him and put him in his dress blues instead of his turquoise vest and bare chest.
He almost had the original cock on his chest tattoo. Yeah,
yes. But he also came with a grenade launcher.
I know it was a Marine symbol. Everyone who is going to be trying to think I'm offensive or something.
Whatever. Yeah, but at least they butched him up by giving him a grenade launcher.
Yeah.
Like, everyone else had guns. He had a fucking grenade launcher. It was like,
and did he have the Rottweiler, too, even from the get-go?
No, you're thinking of Mutt.
Oh.
Junkyard was the Rottweiler.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I can tell you just about everything about G.I. Joe, so.
Yeah, well, I haven't paid attention to them in quite some time.
I still love those stuff. I also go back and read the old comics every once in a while. That's why I hated that movie with a passion. And the fact that The Rock, and I can't believe I didn't post on this, but The Rock is going to play Roadblock in the next G.I. Joe movie.
Yeah.
He looks nothing like what Roadblock should look like. Not one bit. And yes, I mean, he's not tall enough, he's not black enough, and he can't grow a mustache like Roadblock had. He just can't do it. So
Roadblock did have a fantastic mustache.
Yes, and he was a cook. And it's like, never mind. So the Raw Money in the Bank match.
If Steven Seagal can play a cook, I'm sure The Rock can.
But see, Steven Seagal's character wasn't based on somebody else. The Rock is playing a character that's been in comics, action figures, and in the TV show. Now, he'll look cool with an M60, and they better – if this next year – I'm going to see it. I know I'm going to see it. But this next G.I. Joe movie better be back to the cartoon and comic book standards, not this horse shit that they put out the last time that only retarded people liked. It's just – it's awful. And that's insulting retarded people.
I will take your word for it.
You haven't seen it?
No, dude. Oh. You know me in movies. I'm horrendous. Like, unless I really, really need to see something, I don't. Like, I don't think I've seen Potter since the fourth movie.
Oh, that's too bad. Those movies actually got way better. Well, the Frog Prince, what is it? Half-Blood Prince?
Yeah.
That was a boring movie, just like it was a boring book. So you didn't miss anything.
Okay.
Yeah, at least I thought so. But
gotcha.
But no, G.I. Joe, you have all sorts of source material. It's embarrassing the way that movie turned out. Just embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It is not worth time to watch it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I saw the preview, and I'm like, this looks horrendous.
Yeah.
And that's where I left it.
Yeah. And everyone's like, well, that should follow the TV. No, it didn't follow the fucking TV show either. So maybe if it was Cobra La 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 or something stupid like that, it would have been fine. But this was – it was just trash, man. Okay, so anyways, the Raw Money in the Bank match, I knew it was going to happen sooner or later, but –
yeah.
I don't know. It's the popular theory seems to be John Cena is going to win CM Punk's going to win, and then Del Rio's going to come down and cost him the title. So that CM Punk does win, but he doesn't take off with the title. Because they've made it very poignant, or very clear, excuse me, that his deal expires at midnight.
Oh. They have been very explicit about that.
Mm-hmm. And, we all know the pay-per-views end before 10 or 11. So
yeah. Yeah, no, I would put my, you know, more of my money on Del Rio than anyone else, in the matchup. Just yeah. because The Miz, he's in cooldown.
Yeah.
You know, he's pretty much fucked for the next year and a half, at least.
Yeah,
if they haven't let Sheamus back off the mat for the most part, why would they do anything similar with The Miz?
Right, that's exactly what I was gonna say, and that's the only part of this that would keep you from being like safe and choosing The Miz with it, or feeling safe to choose The Miz. And really, on Raw right now, there is no place for The Miz. They kind of ended the Alex Riley feud with him beating Riley at the end.
Wait, did you mean on TV?
Yeah, so
the week that I missed.
but then also like Riley comes out trying to attack him, and it's like, well, dude, it's over. I mean, I don't know. That's been a weird feud to me.
Yeah, to have Riley win twice on pay-per-view and then the blow-off be on TV and have finally win.
Yeah. But I think that's the only reason you bet against him is he's definitely in. You're going back to the mid-card for a while, cooldown mode, and you better handle it well or you won't come back up.
Yeah.
Swagger,
well,
they can't seem to figure out what they want to do with him.
No one seems to be able to handle that demotion very well at all, especially since it seems to last for, well, fuck only knows how long.
Yeah, and Swagger's one of these guys.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, it's just I keep on saying it about both shows. It's just like stop. There are so many people. It's just like stop dicking around. Like, I don't care, because I think I almost included that in my morning after write-up for the blog, for the Raw blog there, with our boy, Dolph Ziggler. It's just like, look, I don't give a shit. If you don't think he's good enough, don't do it.
Right.
You know, don't push him. Don't give him, like, this half-ass jerk-him-around bullshit push. And Swagger's the same way. It's like every other month you're like, oh, okay, they're going to start getting back under him. And then it's like, oh, nope, they just shit on him again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, fucking make up your mind. Like, I don't care. Shit on him or don't. Like, go with it. You know, make a decision and go. Like, I don't know. I've really lost a lot of passion for him after being all over his – like, I didn't like him at first, got all over his balls at the end of his ECW run and when they gave him the title. And ever since they've been jerking him around, I don't know. He hasn't been as good. That and they've given him some really shitty material to work with, which hasn't helped out at all.
Yes, that
– I mean – It was entertaining for a little bit to have him shown his trophies and whatnot, but
yeah.
It drug into like the third month of him doing that. It really just became unentertaining. Yeah. It's just like, okay, this is a funny like 2 month thing to do. Like, don't really stretch this any longer.
Right. All right. Let's see. Riley, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Kofi Kingston's kind of a wild card. Because they gave him the John Cena promo for this match. The come out and sell it to everyone promo. That was like really unnecessary and didn't make sense with the other people talking.
Yeah, so there's I was going to say that was one of the few times I'm like, oh my God, they finally gave him mic time again.
Now him, I was like, okay, he talked. What you just said to me applied to Evan Bourne. He came out and talked, and I was like, huh? What's going on?
He didn't talk, really.
No, yes, he did. He cut like a 2 minute promo. Or 30 seconds, maybe. I always overestimate that stuff. But
yeah,
the fact is,
no,
he talked, though.
He did talk.
And he didn't sound like a little kid either. Which I thought was very important. I mean, I'm not joking. The last time he talked, it was like as John Cena's buddy, last I can remember, and his voice was really high. this time he came out and, you know, it still had a higher inflection, but it wasn't like 12-year-old kid speak. And he didn't really say much, but...
Yeah, no, he got interrupted pretty quick. I guess that's why I didn't even really think about it, because I was more stoked, because it just... yeah, and this is another thing I said, like, him just sliding into the ring was more exciting than pretty much every other promo that had happened before him. And I don't even have my write-up to see who...
It was Miz, Swagger, and then he came out. Oh. Swagger interrupted Miz. Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. I'm glad you mentioned the slide, too. That is a hell of an athlete. How you don't kill yourself, or, I mean, break a bone at the most, or at the least, or kill yourself at the most doing that, is amazing to me. It's effortless. It's just the weirdest thing. He just slides right in. You don't think twice about it. But.
Oh, man. Sorry, got a little distracted.
Oh, God, what are you watching?
No, it's not what I'm watching.
Uh-oh.
Okay, there we go. Hold on, I finally, Miz, Swagger, oh, okay, yeah, Bourne. Okay. Yeah, and then Kofi. Okie dokie.
Is that what you got distracted with?
No.
Oh. Okay. So anyways, nice tire screech sound we just can put in there. So anyways, so Evan Bourne talked. Evan Bourne, Rey Mysterio, and Kofi, I think, are just in this for the highlight reel stuff.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, no. Bourne is definitely going to do something that everyone... And it's probably another good reason to go ahead and order this pay-per-view. He's probably going to pull some crazy stunt out of his ass. And everyone's going to love it.
And now I'm distracted. Oh,
yeah.
Boy. So anyways, so I'm going to take Alberto Del Rio to win. Just we just ruined this whole segment. Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to take Del Rio to win anyways, because they still seem high on him, and he's the only one that didn't get physically involved in anything. Everybody else was in a match, or, you know, Riley came out yelling or running after Miz, blah, 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 blah. So
the Peruvian chef on Chopped, who said it was his destiny to win that show, won. So I think that Alberto Del Rio's destiny is finally going to come through, and he's finally going to get a title belt victory.
I was trying to see. Yeah. I mean, my backup choice, I'll go with Kofi just to see if they surprise us, but I can't see it, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And R-Truth is just crazy guy, which is awesome.
Yeah. And Elise was like, wait a minute, you used to hate this guy. And I was like, yeah, that's before he became awesome. That's how it works.
Yeah, he's like everyone's good, crazy uncle now.
It's just, I don't understand the Jimmy thing, but the fact that he just keeps using it, I think, is great. And he uses it inappropriately. It's just stupid, and it's just wonderful to hear. So
yeah, no, he's just entertaining now. Like, he is far more entertaining doing this whole Jimmy and talking about conspiracies that aren't
and
even
being
happening.
Scared of stuff.
Yeah.
What was he scared of? I wish I could remember offhand. Rats? No. It was something, cats? Something like that? I don't know what the hell it was. But
yeah,
I'm like,
well,
this
he was
no
scared. He was scared of heights.
That's it. Yeah, scared of heights.
No, there was something else, though. Oh, he was trying to say agoraphobia, and he said arachnophobia.
No, he didn't even say arachnophobia.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was some, yeah, it wasn't even, you're right, it wasn't even arachnophobia. It was like he meshed arachnophobia and agoraphobia into one word somehow.
And I'm looking it up because I was just like, what? And then they tried covering up and going, yeah, he must be scared of spiders too. And I'm like, was he trying to say arachnophobia? What? But that makes me like a person like that. When you just fuck up that bad, you just keep on going. You're crazy. Who the hell knows? You can make up words.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is the best part, is that if he fucks up now, it's like, I don't know. Like, I have no clue
if that's what I'm supposed to do
or not.
That's got to be a very freeing experience, too. Just do whatever you want. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, no, but no one's got it, but...
Because I thought he was talking about a fear of spaces or something like that. But, yeah, no, he is just...
Oh, yeah. Truth asks how he's going to climb a ladder. He said when he has acrophobia.
Okay.
What is the fear of heights? Is that agoraphobia?
No, agoraphobia is the fear of open spaces.
That would have been an even better one. If he has agoraphobia, he walks out in the arena, he's immediately scared. That'd be great. And on top of that, he's scared of heights. Oh, boy. All right. So, anyways, we kind of saved that one. So, Dark Truth is great now. I don't want to see his matches. I just want to hear him cut promos. So, yes. All right. Let's get into the two title matches. We'll obviously save the big one for last. That we'll start with Randy Orton Christian. We kind of covered some of this before. I honestly don't know how many times they've fought. But it sure seems like a lot to me.
It has been, because Christian lost to Orton the day after the pay-per-view, and then he's wrestled him at two pay-per-views since then. So it's been three matches at a minimum, and I swear that there's been another match in between.
Yeah, of some sort, yeah.
Of some
and sort. Not including tag matches.
Right.
Yeah. So, and this is what I was saying. This is the match they could probably do in their sleep. So that's why I'm hoping they bring out something, you know, bigger. It's given 20 minutes again. And, you know, just for something to happen in this one. Or you know what? Finally just have a decisive winner. Christian moves on to something else.
No. I think that this is the last one. No matter who wins it, they're taking a break from each other.
Yeah. It's clearly not pulling in the ratings.
Right. And well, again, like, I don't know how much you can pin that on just them. It's just like, what the fuck? Again, going back to the SmackDown being pillaged.
Yeah.
You know, can you really put all that weight? Because, I don't know if it was with you or Eric, maybe, or maybe it was even Dusty. My ex-sister-in-law was completely bummed that Randy Orton got taken off of Raw. But they weren't willing to watch SmackDown to see him.
Weirdos.
Yeah, no, it's because, I mean, Katie and Les, I mean, you know them. So, yeah. I mean, they said that they've been watching Raw a lot, you know, the last couple of months. So, I mean, they got back into it, but, you know, I guess that does go to show you that you don't, you know, a lot of people will just watch Raw and not SmackDown, you know, like,
yeah.
To all of us, it seems weird. It's like, aren't they all kind of tied together? They're mixing brands, like we've been bitching about left and right, and it's just like, you know, there you go. Another one of those perfect casual fans that, you know, I end up running into. It's just like, yep, they're only watching Monday night, and that's all.
How weird. No, you know what? That's not weird. It's just like any other television show, I suppose. And
it's a death knell anytime a TV show moves nights.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yep, or this is pretty much the last season, so enjoy it while you can. And, Randy Orton moved networks.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, he did. So it's just like, oh, tough shit. We're not going to watch you anymore, even though we like you. And really, the last couple of weeks, I've buzzed through SmackDown in an hour. Like, it's just like...
Yes. Yeah.
You know, when you're not even going to put any time or effort into one of your shows on top of that, It's just like, again, how can you blame Orton and Christian for not dragging in ratings when you're putting, it, at best, like an hour and 10 minutes of product on a two-hour show?
And how much of that is actually interesting?
That's
another problem.
How much of it is not someone walking down to the ring?
Yeah, or talking. Like, Cody Rhodes, I was down with that gimmick for a while, which is why I didn't even discuss him earlier. That's a boring-ass gimmick now. The bags were funny. It's time. And at least we'll see him and go, he needs to take that dumb fucking mask off already.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's part of his gimmick. She goes, well, his gimmick sucks then. And I'm like, oh, all right, well. I'm not arguing with that one, I guess. So.
Yeah. It's just like, he's healed. Like, I'm sorry, but facial injury, like, Rip Hamilton didn't wear his goddamn mask in the NBA for that long, for Pete's sakes.
Yeah. Well, he only wears it now to avoid the risk of injury.
No.
Which, if they explain that with Cody, that's fine. But they just go, oh, he's hideous. And it's like, well, he had a promo where he said he knew he was good looking still. So it's like, it's time to cut the chain there, dude. So, but anyways, this is about Christian and Orton.
Yeah, well,
but there's not a lot to say. They have the added stipulation, if any shenanigans are pulled, Christian wins the belt.
Yeah.
So if the referee messes up and counts him down three, he gets the belt. So why wouldn't you just lay down next to the ropes, put your foot under, and tell Orton to pin you? I mean...
Well, because Orton would drag you out from under the ropes.
Yeah.
It's
just a weird stipulation.
Yeah. To me, it's a weird stipulation. I mean, it makes sense, but to be kind of a blow-off to a feud, which I think this is, like, seriously, that is the stipulation? Like, it's not, you know... Christian didn't talk him into a ladder match or a TLC match or something. You know, like, none of these other matches really have a stipulation to them. Like,
right.
The two Money in the Bank matches, because, I mean, didn't the last couple of years they had, like, other type of matches that were similar to the Money in the Bank at these pay-per-views?
Well, no, the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, that was the only one that was like that. That had a gimmick. They were regular matches, but when it was on WrestleMania, that's where it would get confused.
Okay, no, I thought that last year at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, they had, like, just a regular ladder match also, and just a TLC match, and it made it different than the Money in the Bank matches. So, like, all of them were Extreme Rules.
Yeah, that's true. Not remembering what the card is, that could be it.
Yeah, so that's what I meant. So I don't know, and I'm not even going to pull up the pay-per-view from last year. So
yeah, there's no point.
Nope.
All right, so I'm going to go with Orton winning this because they desperately want him to be the face of that and make him the next John Cena.
That's why he's got to win. Like, as much as I've liked the Christian heel turn, I still don't think that they're 100% behind him.
No, not at all. And not with diminishing ratings. And I know you say you can't blame it on them, but that ain't going to help.
Someone gets blamed.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go to the last match, the most intriguing match on this card. the atmosphere in that arena should be just absolutely insane. Almost to the level of RVD, Rob Van Dam, in the Hammerstein Ballroom on the One Night Stand pay-per-views or pay-per-view. It was where RVD won the Money in the Bank match, challenged Cena.
All due respect to those rowdy persons. They are going to what I would call go to one of the two best wrestling crowds.
Yeah,
in my estimation, it's between them and I think it's Dallas. Always seems to just have a ridiculously hot crowd all the time.
Yeah.
So I think that the atmosphere is going to blow that out of the water. It might just simply be because instead of what 5,000 people or whatever they fit in the Hammerstein, you're going to have 16 to 18,000 people.
Oh, hell, it's a lot less than 5,000.
Okay.
Well, but no, I know what you mean. Yeah.
They're going to have at least triple the fans. And yeah, this is another thing I mentioned in the morning after. Like, there were way more people behind CM Punk than there should have been.
Yeah.
In Boston.
Yep.
Way more people than there should have been. And they're going to put him in Chicago now, his hometown, and he has driven that home.
Yep.
And Punk has always gotten a good reaction in Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, hell, they even didn't allow him to do an entrance. He was just in the ring because they knew that he'd get a pop.
Yeah, so, and they don't have that choice. Like, they're not going to be able to hide it this time. You know, they're not going to just pop up in the middle of the ring for the main event.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's good. I think it's good that they acknowledge this sort of stuff because it's just kind of silly not to, especially when they're not going to be able to help it anyways. There's nothing they can do. So,
well, and they're not, unless they completely mute the crowd during the entirety of the main event, you're going to get a lot more Cena sucks chance.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, I even think the kids and the women are going to be more heavily leaning towards CM Punk than most other places. Pretty much every other place, I should say.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about Cena for a bit, because everyone knows what's going on with Punk, all right?
Yeah.
Now, I texted you. I forgot you weren't watching the show. Cena came so strong in that first segment Monday that he helped sell that match as well. For the first time in a long time, Cena acted like an actual professional wrestler. You know, and when he said that I'm no one's was a stepping stone or I'm no pushover, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I just stood up or sat up like, you fucking did it. It's like, oh my God, there's no bullshit in here. I mean, saying that, he's like, well, you grew some balls. I was like, it's kind of childish, but you know, that's still, I was so, so happy. And I think because I was so surprised that he came out that strong. Cause I was honestly expecting more of like, well, you're just a doo-doo head cause, you know, and some other shit to placate the 7-year-olds that like him.
Yeah. Well, and even him admitting to admiring CM Punk more than The Rock, because did he do that during that promo?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that he mixed that in there, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it's just like, you know, he's leaving, you know, on his terms and not to go, you know, do something in Hollywood. And it's just like, okay, like he's even kind of tying in another feud and it works very well in this context because, you know, in everything that Punk has talked about has all been wrestling. You know, I think that was the other reason why Cena's promo works so well is that Punk hasn't been like, oh, yeah, you know, I can't wait to go get my gig as a, you know, something else. You know, it's just like the guy has only been talking about wrestling.
Yeah, but it was nice. But Punk hadn't really talked too much about the match. And that had been some criticism.
No.
So that Cena came out and made him talk about the match. And I think that's why I like that line so much, that as Punk was railing against all this other stuff, Cena came out and made him focus on the match. So as much as Punk sold you to get into the building, I think Cena did his part. And this is all in the first segment, mind you.
Gotcha.
Cena did his part to get everyone in that building too. Like, you know what? You think you're, I really like though his demeanor. I like the words he used. I mean,
well, and he was completely serious.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And then he had to go and ruin his 1,000 batting average for the night with the doormat and the ripping his face off and the poop, and then he's going to pee on it, or his dog's going to pee on it. It was like, come on,
yeah,
man.
At the end of the night there, yeah.
Yeah. It was honestly like, come on, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, him and Wilfred each took one of his own boots and just crapped right in.
Yeah, I got two of those backed up. I got to watch those still. And Louis as well. I think that was just the bad part. I mean, it just sucked that in a way he had a chance to make this match huge, and if he would have come strong at the end, and he just didn't.
Yeah.
He fell back on that easy shit, and but it was going to what you said. The crowd really wasn't that behind him, though.
I honestly will have to admit, I didn't pay quite as much attention to the crowd reaction at the beginning of the show, but at the end of the show, wow. Like, I mean, it was just shocking. Like, I would say it was a three-quarters to a quarter. You know, like, a quarter pro Cena and three-quarters, like... You know, like, people almost wanted to see Punk go over and slap his dad.
Oh, yes.
And, I mean, does it get worse than that? Like, parents always get a positive reaction.
Yeah, not him.
Oh. Yeah, even John Cena's dad was getting booed by most of the crowd.
Yeah. Well, see, all right, I cut myself off on the one point because I took a drink, and... What I was getting at with the whole him coming out and placating with the poop and pee thing is, was that his attempt to try and get at least the kids cheering for him again? Because he really didn't hear them cheering either.
Like I said, it was ridiculous, honestly. The amount of crowd that was cheering for him at the end was, for Punk at the end, was way out of whack. You know, it was just like... And it was just because it would almost be awesome if Punk pointed out those poop jokes. But, I mean, The Rock has done enough to make fun of him for those.
Yeah.
And I guess this is another point that we talked about, is that, you know, he just really hasn't done himself any favors.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's just we were because you and I, when we texted each other, you're like, oh, is CM Punk going to be Cena's Benoit? Because we always talk about how The Rock became a better wrestler.
Yeah, just overall, I thought.
Yeah, became an overall better wrestler after he wrestled Benoit. And you would think after working with The Rock and after working with, well, and after seeing Steve Austin do his thing.
Yeah.
And now having to go up against Punk for the last month, that maybe something would sink into his fat head that he could stop being jokey joke guy and still get the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't seem to think that at all.
No, and the greatest example of this, and I will always go back to it, is as long as they treat Cena this way. Hulk Hogan didn't act this way. Even, hell, Ultimate Warrior, who kids loved, didn't act this way.
Nope.
Warrior was fucking batshit insane, and people loved him because of what he did in the ring. His promos, I mean, you know, I know it's commonplace to goof on him, and we've done it, but Warrior's promos at least captured your imagination. Yeah. I mean, because you had to figure out what the hell he was saying.
Well, he was kind of in that crazy talk R-Truth realm.
Yeah.
Except he seemed to be serious the whole time, but yeah, you couldn't make out what the fuck he was saying.
Yeah. Well, I sure hope Sting doesn't win the title in TNA tonight.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But no, so I think Cena kind of hurt himself, but I think the match has been sold, and it'd be really, really fun to see what this pay-per-view buy rate turns out to be, because the ratings for Raw haven't been there.
Yeah, I don't know. What, are they still hovering just above 3 at this juncture?
No. No, this week was a 2.7.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten that far down.
Yeah, no, I guess it's just like, every time I see those reports, it's just like, okay, whatever, someone's going to say, oh, watch out, it dropped from a 3.4 to 3.3 this week. And it's just like, okay, like, I'm tired of reading this every week.
Yeah, and now, but it's funny because, I think that's what it was, but it was under 3.
See, and we're talking about talking people into the arena, and, you know, whatever. Like, if Punk's not pulling in the ratings, and that's what the WWE's looking at, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, are they going to care that he walks away or what he thinks? No.
Nope.
Not even a little bit. Yeah. Even if it would mean that overall, if they started going that way, it would improve their product as a whole, it doesn't matter to them at all.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're getting on an hour mark, I think. So let's wrap this one up. I think the John Cena thing. Huh.
Well, I guess one other point that I need to bring up that I kind of thought about, especially since The Rock answered John Cena this week about his Australia rant.
Yeah.
And then I saw a report today that said Rock was coming back at possibly Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, to me, what would be interesting would be to have Rock cost Cena the belt, have Punk win it, and then, as you pointed out, have whoever the Raw Money in the Bank winner is, you know, you can have Rock go ahead and give Punk a rock bottom after he wins the belt or something, so that even he kind of gets a little bit protected. And then Del Rio comes out, or whoever wins it, comes out, beats Punk, and that's the end of it. Do you think the Rock has the possibility of showing up?
Nah.
No.
I don't think they're going to risk Rock getting booed. I think it's going to be that fiercely pro-Punk that I don't think they're going to take any chances of Rock getting booed at all.
Okay.
And the only reason I say he's going to get booed is it was the rock bottom part. But then also, the match doesn't need any interference. Now, I did read that Colt Cabana said he's going to be in attendance. Mick Foley said he'll be in attendance. Now, if you remember, he mentioned Colt Cabana, and he mentioned Mick Foley as well. And Mick Foley was the guy that gave him WWE the bug in the ear about CM Punk. So,
gotcha.
I hope this doesn't turn into the regular John Cena Zoo match.
Right. Yeah, hey. I mean, there's no reason they can't have a really – well, and that's the other thing I guess that's intriguing to me. Like, Punk should be able to drag a good match out of John Cena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and honestly, like, I don't know who I could say that about that Cena's feuded with recently.
I'll be curious to see when this match goes on. I'm hoping it's on at, like, 10:20. To give it 25 minutes.
Oh.
Or 20 minutes and then 5 minutes after. I mean, it would be, I'm torn on who wins this actually. I think it'd be cool if Punk won because it is in Chicago. But I think it would be really ballsy to have John Cena win. And I kind of, that's why, and you know me, I'm always the against the grain part, so I'm always kind of like, well, CNC to win would be really fucking spectacular. The amount of venom that would be in that arena for him winning.
It would be quite amusing to see that happen.
Yeah, and I know the internet would explode if that happened. So I kind of want John Cena to win this match. Just for the chaos it's going to cause after this. And to read all the comments, well, Punk should fucking leave. He should never come back to WWE after treatment like that. And you know what? WWE doesn't respect all this stuff, knowing that him and Cena are probably slapping hands.
In the back, like, hey, we just really delivered a good one.
And, exactly.
And plus, like, how many people, like, just going back to this, oh, they've been loyal for all these years. Who, honestly, like, how many times does the person leaving the company win their last match?
Right. Especially a championship match.
Yeah.
So,
like, get the hell out of Dodge. Like, I have a hard time, but, you know, if Punk does win, almost inevitably, whoever wins the Raw Money in the Bank has to win it. So,
or they do a surprise and have a SmackDown guy come down.
Yeah.
It's a contract for the title, so... You know.
Well, no, I thought those ones were actually brand specific.
Oh, well, all right. This will be pretty funny though. So,
yeah, because I think they started that last year. Well, when they split it up to a Raw one and a SmackDown one, I think they made the contracts exclusive to those brands rather than the general one at WrestleMania.
I'm sorry, I'm lost in the idea of Cena winning now. It's funny how these things. It's funny how you can change your opinion and make yourself really happy just by seeing that. I'm sure the crowd would be stunned silent, or it would just start chanting bullshit or just something like that. It, no matter what, it would be worth seeing though.
Yeah, well, and I think Cena said that. Like he retweeted somebody that said like, "Oh, you're gonna get shit on basically." By everyone in the arena, he goes, hey, if it's a packed house, I don't care. Yeah. And I mean, I know that he says that all the time, but it's true too. You know, if everyone in Chicago buys enough tickets, like what does he give a shit?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. If the arena sold out and the money's counted. Yeah. Okay. And I think that's what a lot of people forget. This is a show. And it is predetermined, so it's like, all right, so if I lose, well, I'm the top guy. I'm not really too worried about it. So he's bulletproof, basically. But
yeah.
I think the stipulation that he gets fired is kind of stupid. But...
Yeah, I don't think that really adds any intrigue to me. Like, that would be the only thing that would be interesting about Punk winning and then maybe losing the title to someone else. Like, I don't know if he said that. Did McMahon say that if Punk walked away with the belt, Cena would be fired, or if he lost the match?
See, that's what I couldn't remember either.
I guess that's a little loophole that they could go with, too, if they do decide to have Punk win, is that it's just like, oh, well, the belt's still here because of Del Rio or whomever, you know. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, the belt's still here. Why should I be fired? You know, Punk didn't leave with it.
Right, yeah.
You know, we prevented, or Del Rio prevented what you didn't want to happen. So.
Did he be in, McMahon's good graces and whatever else? Yeah.
Well, and that would even work, too, if they want to put Del Rio, well, I don't know if Del Rio wants to be told he's the next chosen one, considering...
Yeah. Drew McIntyre.
How the next chosen one has been treated the last two weeks.
The guy that definitely needs to be on SmackDown. Hey, you remember Chris Masters? Yeah. So, a guy that was on SmackDown most of the time, he gets moved to Raw and there's nowhere to be found.
Yeah, that was another thing we said at the draft. It's just like, these guys aren't going to get TV time. Well... Drew McIntyre got to eat a super kick 2 weeks ago, or I guess 3 weeks ago, in his whole 5 seconds of TV time. And then this week, Dolph Ziggler got to tag Drew McIntyre into an angry Big Show, and Big Show completely manhandled him.
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations, Drew. Yeah, I think we're not. I think we're right. We were definitely right. You should still be on SmackDown.
I'm sorry. I got distracted near the end with Impact being on.
Oh, I'm not.
And Sting dressed up like the Joker still, just.
Yeah, I was debating doing a blog at this juncture, so.
It's pretty fucking funny.
I am not watching it right now.
Yeah. All right, well, let's finish this up. I'm going to go with my lovely idea of John Cena winning. Just outright to infuriate everyone. It would be totally worth seeing. As long as it's a good, all right, as long as it's a good match, I don't care if John Cena wins.
Yeah, no, as soon as they said he was going to be fired, like to me that was an indicator to me that Cena was going to win the match. It's just like they're not going to fire Cena. And the last time they fired Cena, he came back left and right all the time and interfered in Nexus matches. So no matter what, John Cena is going to be around. So I don't see any point in firing him. So I'm going to go with John Cena also.
Gotcha. All right. Well, cool. Well, it's nice we have to do a pay-per-view preview for a while. I guess when the preview actually seems like it matters, or the pay-per-view matters, you know.
Yeah.
Funny how that works. So.
Yeah, that is crazy.
But, all right. Well, listen, let's get out of here. Everyone, make sure to check the site. Kevin's got two different PWO interviews up. One's with Mario. I keep calling him Mario. I think it's a dumb mustache. Marion Fontaine.
Yes, the megastar.
Yes. The other one was with Nate Mattson.
Yeah.
Actually, I should let you be doing this. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, Mattson's been around for quite some time. I didn't really get into his history too much, but he's been around for a while because he's our age. And, yeah, he was on Man vs. Food in the Detroit edition there. And, yeah, no, it'd almost be more interesting if I kind of looked up his history. But he was a really good interview. And he's in the tag team title defense match there at Resolution. And Marion Fontaine will, along with Big Rig Brody Lee, will be taking on Kevin Nash and Omega Aaron Draven with the man who will not be mentioned. Actually, I mentioned his name. I just don't mention his website, Justin Labar. And
yeah.
I do believe that I got an invite to be in Fontaine's corner to oppose that shitty-ass website that pretends to watch Pro Wrestling Ohio when, in fact, they do not.
Yeah, all right.
Well, they did this year.
All right. Yeah.
What? Am I trying to get us in trouble?
No, not at all. So, on that note, I'm out of here. This has been Jeremy for Sunk Randy Audio. This is our wrap up. I'm out of here.
I'm going to go grab a sippy time beer and, yeah, have a good night, kids.